Would you turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, the New Testament, and it's May already. May is a time of the year when many of us, and especially with families, and I'll tell you what, God has blessed this church with families, lots of children and youth. And it's a time when school is beginning to wrap up and we're going to be seeing graduates leave and some are going to be moving out of the valley, going on with their careers. And so we're going to talk about some goals for our grads today. But here in Colossians, we have a powerful verse that I feel personally capsulizes the mission of the church, what we're all about. How many of you know that God has saved us to do more than church attendance on Sundays? There's more to Christianity than that, obviously. What are we supposed to be about? What are we to be giving our energies and our time and our talents to? Well, I believe these two verses capsulize that calling. Here it says in verse 28, Colossians 1, talking about Jesus. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And for this I toil, struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works within me. That's what we're to be all about. We're to be teaching and training and warning so that we will be able to see a new generation prepared and equipped and mature. Two functions of the church, warning and teaching. What are some things we should be warning people about today? Anybody have any ideas? False doctrine. A lot of heresy in the church. A lot of things being taught today that don't line up with God's Word. We're to warn people, new believers and old, about that. What else? Anything else we need to warn people about? All right, that Christ is coming again. That there's a judgment day. That we're all going to be held accountable for our actions, Christians and non-Christians. Those are warnings in the Bible. Yes, what else? How about worldly philosophies that are taking Christians captive right and left today? Think we should put out a warning about that? Many things we're supposed to warn people about in the church. And teaching everyone. Now, there is a misconception of what that means. Some people, even in the church, definitely outside of the church, feel like when the Bible says that we are to teach others, they believe that is teaching the Bible in Bible school and in Sunday school, and that's it. That's what teaching has to be. Teaching everyone just that. Is that what teaching is? Do you realize that up until the early part of the 20th century, for 1900 years, the church was the center of education for God's people? Education in every realm, not only theology, but science, math, astronomy, law, economics, history, everything. It was only until the 20th century, the early to the middle part, that the church released the education to the state. But God determined that His body would be the center of education for His people in all these areas. Why? To present each one mature in Christ. We are shooting for maturity. What does that mean? It means to be completed or prepared or ready. Are we preparing a people that are ready for life? Ready to walk with God, ready to not be taken in by worldly philosophies, ready to stand firm for their faith, ready to be able to share their faith with love and honor and respect toward others, but unashamedly. Do you think we've embraced as a congregation this goal to present everyone mature in Christ? Have we really embraced this? Have you embraced this individually here? Do we see this as a calling of God that Paul was presenting to the Colossian church under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? And do we feel the next generation is really prepared to proclaim Christ and to stand for the truth of His Word? Because this is what we should be all about. It permeates every area of our life. And Paul says here in verse 29, "For this I toil." That means work and sweat. "Struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works within me." We believe here in the sovereignty of God. We believe that God works powerfully and sovereignly. But we do not in any way negate our personal responsibility to walk with God and obey Him, right? You know what an iron is? Some of you ladies know. Some of the men know what an iron is. Let's say your iron, you plug it in and it doesn't get hot. It just sits there cold. Do we stand back and say, well, it must be God's will that the iron doesn't heat? He's sovereign. Must be His will. No. Because an iron was created to get hot, right? That's the purpose of the iron. If the iron's not hot, it's a doorstop. Irons were made to get hot. So if they're not getting hot, there's something wrong. So first we check to make sure it's plugged into the power source, right? For the Christian, that's Jesus. And then we have to look and see what's wrong. Maybe there's something's disconnected here. But the iron should be hot. Now, the parallel is our kids. If our kids aren't on fire for the Lord, if they're not going after God, we can say, oh, well, that's just God's will for them. Or we can say, is there a disconnect here someplace? Is there something else I should be doing? Is there a personal responsibility here? Yes, there is, as parents. It's not easy nor convenient for us to give ourselves diligently to discipling and training and teaching the next generation of Christians, especially our young people. But this is God's will for us, teaching everyone. Thank God for that. So today, I want this to be a day when we can praise God. We can understand what God is doing. And also a day to challenge us to action as the Holy Spirit wants to move on our hearts here today. So what are we doing in our church to accomplish this directive to teach and educate our young people? Now, some of you are new to Winter Park Christian Church. Some have come within the last year. We don't share this all the time. But I want to present to you again the vision that God has entrusted to us. And a big part of that vision is for the next generation. The next generation of young people. And what are we doing for this? Okay, now we've done several things by way of reminder. We have a heart for our youth. So we went out 2 years ago prayerfully and found a young man by the name of Chad Warren. And we hired him on our full-time staff to be our youth and family minister. He was directing Worldview Academy for several years, going across the nation, taking groups of high school kids, hundreds of them, and trying to equip them and understanding what a biblical worldview was so they could stand for their faith in their schools. And he did that for a long time. Now, we're blessed to have him here. And that's what he's doing, trying to impart to our kids what a worldview is and how to walk with God. Now, Chad spends time with the youth in our church. He goes down to the public schools and middle schools every week to build relationships, to encourage them in their faith. Parents, are you encouraging your kids to meet with Chad when he's in their schools? Or are we just hoping that happens? Are we intentionally directing our kids? Because that's God's mandate to us as parents, to get them to where they're going to be trained, to encourage them, and sometimes even to command them. I have 6 children. 4 are grown, 3 are married, I have grandkids, and we've been through the teen years. And I know during the teen years sometimes, of course, a teenager, by the way, is just a Western terminology. You don't find that in other cultures. Everybody know that? Our young adults. But sometimes there are struggles in the home about what we want, what our children want, but God calls us to encourage them and direct their lives while they're under our roof. Chad also leads our youth ministry every Sunday night, him and Shannon, and they have a great team of youth leaders around there. Parents, are you encouraging your teenagers to be at that youth meeting every Sunday night? Because for some of our youth, that is the only time they're getting any kind of teaching all week long other than in the home. That's it. Are you ensuring and making sure they're there to get teaching? We need to as parents, and that's available for us. We are committed as a congregation, as elders in this church, to provide everything we can for our young people to grow in Christ and for parents to be able to grow. Chad also teaches an apologetics class during the first service of every week. That's a class for old and young alike. Are any of you bringing your teenagers to that class? We have multiple services, so we don't have a Sunday school hour. So we have that during the first service on Sundays, and then people come to the second service for worship. Are you taking advantage of the apologetics teaching? How many of us in this church have never had apologetics teaching? And we've got that here. Are we taking advantage of it? Or are we just hoping for the best? God, give us vision. Help us to see what you want us to do. Without vision, people perish, right? Without vision, we cast off restraints, the Bible says. What does that mean? It means unless we know where we're going and what target we're shooting at, there's no reason for us to discipline ourselves. We can't see the reason for self-sacrifice and using our resources and our finances and our time and our talents because we're not sure where we're going with that. So we just become pew warmers. Without vision, people perish. God, give us vision. And He has given us vision here in the church. Also, Chad and Shannon and Mark and Amy Blahnik. Mark and Amy teach our middle schoolers. Every Sunday, we have middle schoolers. Are you parents for your middle schoolers? Are you making sure they get to those meetings on Sunday? Because for some of our middle schoolers, that's the only time they're getting direct biblical input to strengthen their faith outside the home. That's the only time. Are we taking that initiative and making sure we're taking advantage of what God's given us as a flock? We're working together as a church family, amen? We have a heart for our families here and for the kids. And Chad and Shannon and the Blahniks, they're taking two groups of our high schoolers this summer to Worldview Academy Weeks. Are you going to take advantage of that and encourage your kids to be a part of that? Is it worth a week from working at McDonald's to go and get training into how to share their faith? If we don't take advantage of it, it just sits there. Chad also teaches in our Christian school, mentoring kids every day. Every day. Another thing, too, a family not from our church was talking to me, and they were asking me about the vision of our church and what we're all about. And I was telling them, talking about many things. You know, God has given us a lot. We have a vision for unreached people groups. We're very involved in Tibetan Buddhism. We're involved in Mexico. We're involved in foreign missions. We're also involved in reaching our community for Christ, many different avenues. We've been running Bible studies in the jail for 18 years, working with inmates and families of the incarcerated, with PRC, Crisis Pregnancy Center up here. We also have just started a Helping Hands ministry where we're serving widows and single moms and poor people in the community. We've got a lot of things going on in the community. But I share too, we have a vision for our kids. He says, what have you done? I said, God has given us a Christian school to train up our children. He says, boy, a small church, that's a big endeavor. I said, it is. But we have no doubt as elders, and you in this congregation who were here at that time, know that God commanded us and directed us to start a Christian school, and we're going to be faithful to that. He said, well, what do you want? I said, I'm just praying that people will catch a vision and get behind our kids. Many of you are, but there's many that are still kind of on the sidelines. And I said, one thing we'd like to do. We have a scholarship fund for tuition for the Christian school that people have given to, and they can give to that. But I said, another thing is, I want to see our high school graduates. We've got four in this church, two from the Christian school this year and two from public school. I want to see them go down to Manitou Springs, outside of Caro Springs, to Summit Ministries, and have them go through 2 weeks of Summit Ministries training, where they bring college professors, Christians from all over the United States, and they sit down with our kids and they tell them what to expect in college and how to counter those great arguments that are being presented by those professors so that they will not fall and they'll be an influence on their college peers. And he says, well, how much is it? I said, it's about $900. Him and his wife gave us $5,000 to scholarship our graduates to go down there. Parents, are you going to take advantage of that and encourage your kids to do that? They can go. We can scholarship them full ride to prepare them for college. But we got to take advantage of these things. It's there. And we did start a Christian school. Praise God for that. Now, you know my heart here. We have kids in here and families that go to homeschool. They homeschool their children, and they have children in public school, and they have children in the Christian school. We have over 20 public school teachers in our church. Praise God for our public school teachers who are Christians in the public school system. Thank God for that. We pray for them. Amen. Because they're missionaries there. We're missionaries everywhere we go in any job we have, first and foremost, right? And they're missionaries, and we pray for the impact that they're going to have. And we're supporting every family and trying to equip the parents to direct the education of their children. But we need to know that God has raised up a school here, and He is blessing this school, doing some great things in it, great teachers. In fact, today there's some people who want to share a little bit of a testimony. It's going to be an encouragement to us to give praise to God for what He's doing with a section of this church. Hope Nunning is one of our graduates here this year. And we're praying. Come on, Hope, and you can. She wants to share some things with you about what God is doing in her life. Thanks, Hope.
Hi, I'm Hope Nutting, and as you heard, I'm graduating this year, which I'm really excited about. I've been involved with this school for 3 years since it started, and my mom's really involved with it too. So, first, I just want to say how much of a blessing the school has been to me. The teachers are so different than I see in other schools. I am friends with my teachers. Like, I can go talk to them about my life. They're people that are mentors to me, not just teachers. They're really a blessing to me. And I can see how much they love me and the rest of my classmates. They are so busy, and they prepare so many things for us to do, but they always take time out of their busy schedules to meet with us if we have questions with homework or anything. Like, the way they love us is just amazing to me, and it's a very big blessing. Also, the things that we learn in this school aren't just a bunch of facts. They don't just throw information at you and tell you to memorize all this stuff. They're giving you tools to think, to learn how to think, to learn how to continue your education after you're finished with high school and college, and to keep that going, and how to think critically and think with a biblical worldview. I don't have just one Bible class. I do. I have a theology class, and it's awesome. But every single class I take is based on God's Word. Even my math class. Like, you may think, oh, it's just math. You know, it has nothing really to do with your walk with God or anything. But you can glorify God through math. And you can glorify God by the way you do math. You can live. It's amazing the things that you can learn, the lessons that you can learn through math about God, about this world. And it's just amazing. Every single class is based on that, on God's Word. It's not segregated. It's not like we have our Bible classes and then we have our math and history classes. It's all together, which is such an amazing blessing. And it's hard. Like, it's really hard. And I've had my times where I've wanted to quit. And I've had my times where I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. But out of it, I came with the love and encouragement of my teachers and becoming a stronger person and being really, really well prepared for college and the rest of my life. So I just love this school, and I'm excited to be graduating, but it's kind of a bittersweet thing because it's just amazing school. And I just feel really prepared. This next year, I'm actually going to Brazil, leaving end of July to be an exchange student for about 11 months. And I feel really well prepared spiritually and academically for that. And so, yeah, just the school has been an amazing blessing to me.
Great. Thank you, Hope. Yeah, awesome. And by the way, too, pray for Hope as she goes on now with her education. But God led her this summer. Oh, no, not this summer, this last year. We take our kids down to Denver oftentimes to serve at the Denver Rescue Mission. And we were down there serving one time, and Hope came back and said, you know what, we can do that here. So she started to pray, and people began gathering around. And she started a ministry this year called the Doulos, where you take high school kids during the weekend and you serve other people. You've served PRC and different things just to be a blessing in the name of Christ. That's awesome, Hope. God bless you. Thanks a lot. Okay. We want to see our kids to go forth and make an impact on lives for Christ. Also, there was a family that moved up here for the Christian school. Sherry, you want to come up and share a little bit? There's a couple that wanted to share here today. This is great. Thanks, Sherry. You have a daughter in the school, right?
We do. My husband is Scott, who's sitting up in the sound booth, and our daughter Mariah is 12. Scott and I were in Winter Park 15 years ago on our honeymoon, and then we returned to Minnesota, where we've lived most of the time we've been married. When we found out that we were expecting Mariah, I began to pray for a Christian school for her to attend. And the first 3 years, Mariah was in public school, and then we homeschooled for 3 years. And then about a year ago, we sold our house in Minnesota, and my husband wanted to start a computer business, and we bought a fifth wheel and started heading west. And last August, we were down camping in Longmont, and we decided to come up to Winter Park to show Mariah where we had honeymooned at. And we were in Winter Park eating at a restaurant, and we heard these two young girls talking about things of the Lord. So I went over and introduced myself and asked them if there was a good Christian school and church in the area. And they sent us to Winter Park Christian Church, and we met Pastor Doug and met some of the teachers and got a tour of the school. And about 10 days later, we came back and attended a Sunday morning service, and we knew that this is where the Lord was calling us. Well, 8 days later, we moved here, and a week after that, Mariah started sixth grade here. And she is doing very well. She's doing very well academically. And to watch her incorporate what she's learned in the classroom into everyday life. And it's really neat to see how the teachers incorporate biblical teaching into all the classrooms as well. This past year, the fifth and sixth graders have had to learn 2.5 chapters of Matthew. And it's been difficult for them to memorize all that, but they've done it, and they're doing really well with that. And also, Mrs. Payne, their teacher, prays with them during the classroom, and they can share prayer requests with each other and see how the Lord answers those prayer requests. And also, they help them emotionally. Kathy Nutting and Cindy Beckerly and Ed Beckerly have taken the boys and girls and divided them over the lunch hour and they talk with them about how it means to be a good Christian friend to each other and what is pleasing to the Lord and how they treat each other. And what has been neat for me to see is how the older kids befriend the younger kids, and they treat them like they're their peers and not like they're someone less. And what's another thing I've really been impressed with is the teachers and administrative staff, their commitment and care that they have for the kids. And if there's any type of need, they're on it right away, and they keep dealing with it. It's not just a one-time thing and they let them go, but they keep with them and make sure that everything that they need, that it is provided. So we're very thankful for this church and for this school and the way that it's helped Mariah to grow in things with the Lord.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Sherry. Boy, amen. And one other one wanted to share. Michelle, you want to come? And your daughter, Danielle, who's in our school also. I mean, just to give God praise for what he's doing here. Thanks.
We came up here back in 80. Actually, I came in 86. Michelle and I met up here in 89. We were married through the church, raised our children through the church. We went down to Denver for a brief time and found out that they were going to be putting a Christian school in place up here, which we were looking forward to ever since we started going to this church. So we were excited, and we prayed that the Lord wanted us to come here, that he'd open the doors, and he did. It was amazing, just all the miracles and things, and I could go on to share, but I won't. But he wanted us to be here, and we were excited for the school with our children. I want to share briefly just on the foundation and the standards that I feel are very important of being part of this school that we all or an agreement on. And what's been ministering to me is in Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, what I think is this foundation. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His ways are justice, a God of faithfulness, and without iniquity, just and upright is he. And that's the character of our God, our Savior. He's awesome and great. And that's also of the teachers and the administration. We have seen this character, experienced it for ourselves. We've lived in it and through it, and we have many stories and examples that we've seen with the teachers, through the administration, and just the grace and the mercy we've seen through the church and through the school. And I was praying, what story should I share? And I had a story happen to me today on the way in. I'm driving down the road, and my van was shaking and being weird, and I smelled burning rubber, and I thought for sure I had a flat tire. So I pull over the side of the road, and I've been up here for a long time, and anybody knows me at all, you know I've had some difficulty with vehicles. Some of you might even give me rides throughout the years. You see me hitchhiking. How many people give me rides in here? Anybody? There's a few, yeah. So anyway, I pull over the side of the road, and would you believe it that one of the teachers of the school pulled right up behind me right when I pulled over, and it was Jean Anderson. And she gets out, you need a ride, you need help. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. It looks like smells like I have a flat tire or something, but I'm not seeing a flat tire. And she goes, you know, it sounds like something that's happened to me before. Did you put on an emergency brake or anything last night? I never use my emergency brake. But sure enough, that's what it was. And so just an example of the teachers, they go above and beyond even, you know. You might need help on the road, but that's where they've been with our children. You know, anytime, day and night, they can call the teachers, and the teacher always there is supportive and helpful, and we sure appreciate that. And I'll give Danielle a chance to share.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to share what the school's done for me and about the school, but Hope did a really good job of summing that up. I've been to a couple schools, well, 8 to be exact, and this is the best education that I've ever had, and they don't just teach us, like Hope said, like just facts and dates and dead people, because I know I never remember those things. But they tell us how everything like connects with everything, and they tell us the lessons and the big pictures we can learn and the worldviews. And they teach us that we need to know what we believe so that way we can give defenses when people ask. And they also teach us how to discern between the truths and what aren't truth. And I know before I came here, I was a major slacker. Whenever we had projects and stuff, I'd always like wait to the very last night and just throw something together. And at other schools, that's pretty much what everyone did. So mine was like average. Wasn't great, wasn't bad. And but when I came here, everybody worked like really hard and they didn't wait till the last minute. So then I was really, at first I was extremely frustrated because I was like, why is everybody so great and mine's so bad? And then I realized because they actually work on it. And So for, through this school, I've learned to like to work harder and not procrastinate last minute. And also the teachers here are amazing. Like I don't I've never had a teachers that loved me and were so full of grace and mercy. And I'm not the best student, but through this school, I've grown a lot. And yeah.
Amen. Boy, great.
And I can say, as Danielle's mom, she's 16 and we have three kids. Danielle's 16, she's in 11th grade, and we have Kirsten, who is 13, and she's in 7th grade, and then Micah, who is 12 and in 6th grade. But we have seen tremendous growth in our kids through this church, and especially, I would say Danielle right now has just blessed our socks off. And it's just been great to see how the school has helped within her growth. And the school is so supportive. I want to share something that my daughter Kirsten wrote. And the first service I started crying, hopefully I won't start crying this time, but said, "How this school has changed my life. Before my life up here in this beautiful town of Fraser, I lived down in Denver where things were totally different from how they are now. When I went to school down in Denver, Crown Point Academy, I pretty much started straying from the path of God and going on my own path. I started making fun of kids, hanging out in a clique group, and believing things I knew weren't true. I was a totally different person. Now, since we have moved up here, God has opened my eyes and brought me to the right path. Now I have a much stronger walk in the Lord, and now I know God will take care and help me. Today I am a changed person walking in the ways of the Lord with better Christian friends and a wonderful school that supports us."
Amen. Right.
So that, I mean, that's one thing that I have seen with my kids is just their heart and the fruit that the Lord is working in their lives. Todd was talking a little bit about character, and I've seen the character in the students and the teachers and everyone involved in the church. It's just a very, very caring atmosphere. And when we struggle, we've struggled with issues. We've struggled in the transition from coming down to Denver to here. I mean, the teachers were there. The students, other students were there. It's just been like a family. It's totally a family. So one thing is Danielle was kind of sharing is the homework. It's a lot of homework, but it's hard. But the good thing about it is it's discipline. It's teaching the kids discipline, and it's teaching us as parents to be disciplined in helping our kids, because there's, you know, we need to get along and we need to get in there helping them do their homework and stuff. So one thing I've been blessed with is since I do work here, I've been able to go into the classrooms and visit the classrooms, and I can hear what's going on in the classrooms as I'm walking by and stuff. And I got to sit in on a debate, which Danielle was doing, and I was amazed. I never learned how to debate when I was in high school. And some of the things that they were teaching, I mean, they were teaching about, or they were debating on the truths between, totally forgot, but it was like between good and evil and is there really a God and stuff like that. So they debate and they have these, they have to take both sides. They have to take the good side and the bad side. And I mean, I was sitting there like going, this is my daughter. She's learning these things. It was amazing. So that was kind of to share from my heart is just the cohesiveness and the family that we feel from the school. Mm-hmm. So it's been a huge blessing for us, and we know that God brought us up here for a reason.
Amen.
So.
Amen. Boy, great. Thanks. Thank you. Yes. Praise God for what He's doing in our fellowship in so many ways, and we give God glory for that. Let's go through these 10 goals for graduates. This is in our handbook, but this is our heart and desire for adults as well as all of the kids in our class. This is what we're shooting for. This is our target. This is what we want to see developed in their lives. Let's just walk through these. Number one, we want our students that leave this place and go on in their lives in colleges and their careers. We want them to understand that they were created by God, and that their lives have a divine design and purpose. They did not evolve from some primordial sloppy green soup. And when they die, their ticker just doesn't stop. They were created by God with gifts and talents and personalities and character. We have a lot of young people in here, all you from South Suburban and others in the church. We are committed to you, to your generation, to train you up so that you'll understand God, understand that you're saved by God's grace, but have a purpose for your life. That scripture there in Ephesians says, we are saved by grace through faith. It is not of our own doing, right? It's a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. And verse 10 says, we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, for a life which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in it. We want our kids to understand that. Secondly, we want them to maintain a deepening relationship with Jesus Christ. We want all of us to do that. But we want to invest in our children so that they can maintain that relationship to Christ in joyful submission to His Word. Not in legalism, not in any kind of, boy, you know, we got to do this, and our Christianity just, God, you keep raining on my picnic. You know, I want to do something, and they won't let me do it. You know, many here have been raised in churches, and maybe even in some Christian school, where legalism was paramount, rather than understanding the joy of following Jesus. In 1 John chapter 5, it says, the commandments of the Lord are not burdensome. They're life to us. We want our kids to know that. We want them to know how to be led by the Holy Spirit, how to listen to His voice, how to understand what true worship is. They learn that through our modeling on Sundays. Are we engaging God? Are we singing to Him? Are we doing what the Scriptures tell us, raising our hands, clapping our hands, engaging ourselves in worship? Or are we sitting there going, Mark, how many times are you going to sing that last chorus here? Oh, boy, you know, I want to go to Pizza Hut. What are we modeling? What legacy are we passing on here? And we want them to know, too, that there is a supernatural dimension to their faith, including the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some churches don't even teach on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have supernaturally gifting for God's purposes. And they learn that here. We had a lot of sickness like the rest of Grand County last year. But there was one time when we had teachers sick and students sick. We just had everybody come in here. We anointed all the students with oil and the teachers, and the sickness stopped during that time. We want them to see that God is actively involved in their lives. We can call upon Him. And we wanted to maintain that kind of walk with God. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you want and it'll be done. That's powerful. Also, we want them to know how to articulate the good news of the gospel and their Christian convictions based on the Word of God. Paul said in Acts 20, I did not cease or quit teaching you the whole counsel of God's Word, how God's Word applies to everything, and to be able to articulate that. Every student in this school, twice a year, leads devotions for the student body. Young ones and older ones, they get up in front of the whole body and they have prepared a devotion articulating that. My little son Sam, who's 10 years old, I, by the way, have two children in the Christian school, 13 and 10. And I could go on and on what a blessing it is to me. But my little son Sam, he was preparing his devotional. And he says, Dad, what do I do? I said, well, what scripture do you enjoy, Sam? He says, well, Dad, I really like this story here. Okay, well, let's look at that, Sam. What things are meaningful to you there? What things do you think God's Word is saying? And he goes, well, I think it's saying this, this, and this. I said, good, there's your devotional now. And he's excited about that. He was really nervous at first, but he's learning how to become a teacher. Do you know that God intends every Christian to become a teacher eventually? Surprise. That's in Hebrews chapter 5. He wants us to know how to do that. Also, number 4, we pray that our graduates would be able to know how to defend their faith by engaging others with respect and confidence, those who have questions or who oppose Christianity. We want them to be able to defend their faith. You know, Christians oftentimes are awkward in our defense. Sometimes we come across as holier than thou. Sometimes we come across as condescending. Sometimes we come across as not really caring about the individual. We just want to be a witness. That's wrong. All that is wrong. We want them to know how to love people, how to respect people for where they are in their life, but how to, with love, share the truth and articulate that. I'm telling you what, the cults are training their students. Everybody know that? They are well versed in their doctrine and what they believe. Other religions are training their students. Secular humanists are really training their students. Who's going to train the Christians if we don't do that? That's what God wants us to do. 1 Peter chapter 3 says, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that's in you. Are we walking in such a way that people go, what are you so happy about? Because there's hope in me. Hope. A living hope. That's why we have regular debates. These kids are debating all kinds of current issues. And they got to take both sides to know how to defend, how to articulate. Isn't it great to read an article in the newspaper or to listen to somebody talk who really have their thoughts in line and really have substance to what they're saying? They're trained. There's a training needed there. Very few can do that naturally. It doesn't just happen. No more than that iron is going to get hot by hoping it gets hot. We got to find out where the disconnects are. Number five, we want them to perceive all of life from a biblical worldview. Is that a mandate from God? Can the church teach all the different aspects of the world, all the different subjects? Absolutely. God created them all. You know what we are? We're in a life of discovery about science, about the arts, and about law, and about math. God created all that, and all of creation gives Him glory, right? We just sang about that this morning. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, real quickly, would you please? How do we know that God wants us to see all of life? And when the Bible says we teach everyone, teaching them about everything that God has. Well, here is one of the key scriptures. Look at in verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 1. Listen to what it says here. God, His divine power, 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to what? Life. Think about that. All things that pertain to life. That's everything. That's not just Sunday school looking at a few verses. That's everything in life God wants us to learn. And godliness through the knowledge of Him who called you to His own glory and excellence. And look at on, verse 4, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises. We got the Word of God. We got gifted teachers. So that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. We are preparing kids for life. The church or a Christian school were never meant to be monastic. Everybody know what that means? A monastery. Isolating us from the world. They are to be training centers so that we can impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are very committed to that in our church. Number six, we pray that our grads would be able to discern philosophies. The philosophies that are being promoted through literature and music and movies and television and other media and entertainment sources so they can judge the presented messages in light of the truth of God's Word. Every song, every book, every television program, every sitcom, every movie, that writer has a purpose. He's saying something or she's saying something, right? It's not just all entertainment. Praise God for entertainment and humor. But what are we being impacted with there? Do you know that Chad Warren, this last year, once a month, Friday nights, had a movie night? And we announced this. The purpose of the movie was not entertainment, but the purpose of the movie was to train parents and their teenagers and youth how to discern the philosophies behind movies and what they're saying. It was awesome. We're sitting there. We had a lot of conversations as Chad took us through orderly how to pick out what's being said. Did you take advantage of that? Were you here with your young people learning that? It's available. We're trying to train. It's not going to happen if we don't invest our time in it. And Chad took a lot of time to put those things together, and he did an awesome job. We're hoping to do this again next year. We want to learn to discern. Ephesians chapter 5 commands us, discern what is pleasing to the Lord. That takes discernment. Discernment means knowing what's good and what's evil, separating that. Marismos in the Greek means to separate. Number seven, we want them to understand current issues in politics and science and medicine and business and law and economics and sports and the ability to discern the ethics behind them. How are they going to handle stem cell research? How are they going to handle cloning? How are they going to handle the sanctity of life when they get out there or the redefining of marriages? What are they going to do when people come who are well-studied? And they challenge their beliefs. Are our kids going to be able to stand up and say, no, I know where you're coming from. I know what books you're reading. I know where you got your ideas, and that's not where I'm at. Are they going to be prepared to do that? That's what we're committed to do here. Is that great or what? You know, and it takes investment in the kids, and we're moving toward that. We take our kids down once a year to Teen Pack down in Denver, which is a whole training for Christian kids about government and politics and how we can be effective there and all the issues that are involved in that. I'm just presenting this to you today to let you know that we have a vision and we're moving in a direction here. And that's why all these things are going on here. But we've got to take advantage of that. Yes, it takes time. Yes, it takes finances. But it is worth it. When we get some letters back, and we've gotten some letters back from high school graduates these last 2 years, thanking us for the training and saying, you were right. And this is what we hit there, and we were ready. That is an encouragement. We're not going to lose our kids. We're not going to lose our young people. We're going to do everything we can to equip them so that they'll be mature. Current issues. Number 8, we want them to comprehend God's providential hand in history and how this knowledge gives them insight into current events. How many of you know that history is being revised today? Are we able to pick up in the presidential candidates that are running right now some of the revision history that's coming through them? Redefining, picking and choosing out of context for their own advantage politically. Are we able to do that, and are our children able to do that? History is very important. In Jeremiah chapter 32 there, when the children of Israel needed encouragement, you know what Jeremiah did? He said to the people, and he prayed in front of them, "Oh, Lord God, you've created the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." And then he went on to give a history of the Jewish nation and what God did and all he did historically and how he was involved in not only their lives, but involved in the heathen nations around them in order to give them strength and confidence for the future. Is history important? Yes, history is his story from creation on. God has been actively involved in the affairs of people. You know, J.P. Moreland, in his book, Loving Your God with All Your Mind, said this. And I asked Chad to run this off for me this morning. He says, great quote, "When people learn what they believe and why, they become bold in their witness and attractive in the way they engage others in dialogue." When people understand what they believe and why, they become more bold in their witness and begin to be attractive. You know why? Because the world is crying out for people with conviction. We want them to be able to comprehend God's hand. And number 9, we want them to be able to express themselves through writing, through speaking, and through the arts. Knowing that God created the arts, and man's abused the arts, but we can use them to communicate. You know what Psalm 107:2 says? Very simply, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord speak up. Engage in dialogue. Share what we feel. The world wants Christianity to just be confined within the four walls of the church. Their cry is to keep your Christianity out of the public square. But as Christians, we can't do that because God's word permeates every area of our life. We can't help but speak up. And we will not be relegated to little bitty groups in our four walls. We will let our light shine. And that's what we want our kids to be equipped to. And last one, we want them to learn without limitation. We want them to be academically prepared, biblically prepared, and spiritually prepared as they pursue God's will and plan for their lives, and that they would desire to live their lives joyfully, joyfully for God. And that takes modeling and mentoring, and that's what we have many in this church that are modeling what it means to walk with God joyfully. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, that takes up a lot of time in America, whatever we eat or drink, or whatever we do, that covers everything else. What does it say there? We do it all for what? The glory of God. That's what we live for. And so Paul there in Colossians, he closes with saying, for this I toil, to present everyone, to teach them and warn them, and present everyone mature and ready and prepared in Christ. And for this I toil with all his energy that he mightily inspires within me. And that's what we're all about. That is a big part of the vision of our church. We are going to invest in this next generation, and they will be prepared coming out of here. Is that awesome or what? And God has entrusted that to us. And he's given us the means to do that. So I pray today you'll have a heart of praise and worship for what God is doing, and a challenge, if you have not been involved and taken advantage of where God has raised up here, to take advantage of that. Get our kids trained and prepared for the future that God has before them. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Oh God. Oh Lord Jesus. We praise you and thank you for your life within us. And Lord, we realize here in our fellowship that we are a small part of what you're doing in Grand County. Thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ and all the different churches that know you and love you and belong to the family of God. We love them, Lord. But thank you for the vision you've entrusted to us, and we want to be found faithful stewards of what you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the heart. It only comes from you. Lord, if it wasn't for your grace and spirit, we would be living total self-centered lives like those who don't know you. Thank you for the miracle of salvation. And Lord Jesus, as a result of our time together here, we want to leave this place with a heart of worship for what you're doing and a heart to pray for one another in this church, and especially for the next generation coming up, Lord, the future leaders, the future missionaries, politicians, teachers, professors, mechanics and plumbers and secretaries and business owners, that they would be able to live for the glory of God, and you would use them to bring many into the kingdom. Let your light shine brilliantly. And throughout this week, O God, thank you for the hope that we have for you to do great things in our life. And we praise you for this. Father, we pray for one another this day. Every adult, those who have children that are already raised, those who have never had children, those who have children in school right now, that you would cause us to be stirred with the vision, O God, that you've given us. For you've said, this word that I give you this day is what you told your people. This word I give you this day should be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children and to your children's children. It's your command to us, and we take that seriously. And it's all by your grace, O God. O God, may we walk with you and serve you joyfully throughout this week, bringing praise to your name. And we thank you for all these things today. In Jesus' name, amen.